Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details. .org.
Connor Happer, Josh Hodson back with you on the Connor Happer Show, 1620 The Zone and 1620thezone.com. Monumental news yesterday in the landscape of college football. We want to hit it from all angles. USC, UCLA joining the Big Ten Conference in 2024. So 2 years from today will be USC and UCLA's first day in the Big Ten Conference. Let's talk about it from the West Coast perspective with Adam Grossbar, the Orange County Register, joins us now. Adam, hello. How are you?
I'm still recovering from yesterday, but not too bad. How about you?
Pretty good. Yeah, it was a wild one. So when you see this or when you catch wind of it for the first time, your thought is what?
Oh, I don't think I'm allowed to say that on radio. But, I mean, you know how it is. It's like that happens and you like say an expletive and you're like off to work. But it was just pretty stunning. You know, I'm an LA guy. I grew up here, grew up going to Pac-12 games at the Rose Bowl and the Coliseum. And it's really weird to think that in 2 years, like, you're not going to know the next time USC plays Stanford.
Yep.
You're not going to know the next time that UCLA plays Cal, Oregon, Arizona. It's just really bizarre to think about. And I know that you guys over in Omaha went through the same thing with when Nebraska left the Big 12.
No doubt.
It's just kind of like you have to wrap your head around it, especially if you grew up in the region. And that being said, like, as much as it kind of hurts, like, for anyone who enjoys the traditions of all this, like, business-wise, like, there's really no choice for USC and UCLA. It would have been malpractice to leave the amount of money that they're about to get on the table.
Yep. Your whole world sort of changes. And I got to tell you, I mean, from our experience, you mentioned it, I think it's applicable here. It's tough. It's not easy. You're getting to know new schools and new people, and it's different. You have USC as UCLA coming along with them. So, I think that's obviously a plus here. And the landscape of the college football world is changing. Let's look at it from that point of view. Just the idea of the Big Ten and the Pac-12's relationship now, long, long relationship, Adam, just thrown out the window, yesterday. And maybe it's not even the Big Ten's, you know, it wasn't the Big Ten's plan to do so, but they're proposed with the idea of USC and UCLA joining the conference, and the Big Ten's not going to say no. That thought of it is pretty crazy as well, and that relationship really doesn't, you know, is going to cease to exist now.
I mean, yeah, it's kind of like, are any Pac-12 schools even, or Pac-10 schools now, I guess.
Yeah.
Are any Pac-10 schools now going to want to schedule non-conference games with USC and UCLA? Like, I don't know how those, I guess the coaches can call each other, but the athletic directors, like, if I'm an athletic director at, say, Oregon, like, you know, UCLA calls me and I'm throwing down the phone. Like, I'm not answering that call right now. So it's kind of crazy, but, like, I mean, yeah, Big Ten could not say no. Because USC and UCLA, obviously, were going to go somewhere.
Yep.
And USC and UCLA, like, I mean, one of the things that's kind of been brought up a little bit, but it's kind of been lost in all of this, UCLA's athletic department is in a large financial hole.
Mm-hmm.
they took on like a multi-million dollar loan from the university itself during the pandemic. 1 year in the Big Ten, and that's erased. And then it's just pure profit from there to be able to, you know, maybe finally fire Chip Kelly and do all sorts of things to like really make themselves nationally relevant. And it's going to be a lot easier to sell a coach on like, hey, come here and you're getting Big Ten bucks, Big Ten resources. I mean, it was a no-brainer, but it just kind of hurts that the business of it makes it so clear that the traditions just aren't as important anymore.
For
it,
sure.
It's just really bizarre.
What was USC's involvement in bringing UCLA along? You know, like, I don't know. These moves have sort of happened in twos for the majority of the time over the years. Was that a USC thing? Because I don't imagine the Big Ten looked at UCLA and targeted them in particular. It starts with USC and then it gets to UCLA. I guess how did that go as far as who's sort of, you know, starting this and getting both of those teams into the Big Ten?
I mean, so this is me using deduction, right? Like, I'm not privy to those conversations, but when Mike Bone was the athletic director at Colorado and Colorado was in the Big 12, there were lots of rumors that, you know, Texas and Oklahoma could go to the Pac-10. And Mike Bone decided to be very, very proactive. And he got Colorado and then subsequently Utah into the Pac-12. So I think understanding Mike's history, you can make the assumption that he made the same decision for USC. Yeah. That he was like, after Texas and Oklahoma last year, and Mike has been pretty blunt about it since he first came to USC. It's like, yeah, I would consider changing conferences. Yeah, I would consider going independent. He's been very, you know, he put the Pac-12 on warning. And in fairness, like George Kliavkov, the commissioner, did, you know, make his first campus visit was to USC and trying to make overtures. But at the same time, like, yeah, Mike was going to do what was in the best interest of USC. And him and Martin Jarmond over at UCLA have really been working in concert with each other for the past 2 years, ever since they both got hired because of the pandemic. They had to really be in lockstep with each other on COVID protocols and things like that. They had to work together to lighten or figure out COVID protocols with LA County and LA City. And they, you know, were releasing joint statements together and things like that. They really started working much more in concert with each other. And so the idea of them going to the Big Ten together makes perfect sense. Like, it really makes sense because, you know, for USC and UCLA, the one time, you know, if UCLA is having a bad football season, the one time the Rose Bowl sells out is when USC comes. And vice versa, even when USC is having a good basketball season, really the only times that Galen Center sells out is when UCLA comes. Mm-hmm. So the idea of losing that particular rivalry was way too much to bear. So it just made perfect sense that they would move together. And I do think, you know, just looking at past history, it makes sense that USC would have been the one that made the first move here.
I had a thought, and you mentioned this is, you know, they've worked together, and USC and UCLA have had this, you know, closer relationship over the last couple of years, and it has a lot to do with the Pac-12, and what I sense is sort of like a, you know, a general distrust, or maybe it's just, hey, we want to be in a place where we can you know, stand on our feet a little bit more in comparison to the rest of the world of college football. But USC goes out a few months ago and they hire Lincoln Riley, and Lincoln Riley comes in, and from what I've read and heard, he saw some things that needed to be changed, upgraded, needed to buy in a little bit more to being a big time college football program. He sees a lot of obviously potential. Otherwise, he doesn't leave Oklahoma for the USC job. How much does Lincoln Riley's presence how much is that a factor in this move here? And does it happen without him, or is that too far?
I think it happens without him. I'm sure that you know, gave any Big Ten president or chancellor who, you know, was like, what is their commitment to football, et cetera, let them know, like, okay, yeah, they're committed. But at the same time, the value of being in the Los Angeles market, both for the television negotiations, but also for recruiting, also for, you know, each one of these, you know, Big Ten universities has thousands and thousands of alumni in the state of California. My neighbors went to Wisconsin and their daughter is at Minnesota right now. Like, it's a big, big, big Big Ten alumni hotbed. So the idea of, you know, getting annual or semi-annual trips where you get to see your college come to you, that's a big deal for all of these Big Ten universities, not to mention just being another foothold academically in Southern California. So I think that without Lincoln Riley, without UCLA having gone to the Final Four a couple of years ago in basketball, yeah, I still think that this happens.
Where does it, how does it sit with, and Adam Grossbard, by the way, he's with us from the Orange County Register. How does it sit with, I mean, I think we're more so talking about UCLA here, who has a really rich tradition of being good at Olympic sports and caring about Olympic sports, that obviously gets swept up in, and not that it would affect any sort of decision because the money sort of trumps all here, but one thing that gets lost in this is in Olympic sports. USC and UCLA are now going to be Big Ten baseball teams. That's a very, very difficult thing for any of us, I'm sure you to imagine as well. How does that sit with people out there in the first, you know, 24 hours since the news came down?
I think that there's some concern about the travel logistics of all of this, right? Like, both of the university statements addressed it. Like, yeah, there's going to be more travel now. You know, every so often, we're going to have to fly to New Jersey or Maryland. And that makes very, very little sense from like a student athlete point of view. But they're going to be flying charter.
Yeah.
They're going to be, you know, it's money, man. Like, there's going to be so much money flying around that, you know, and UCLA mentioned that. Martin Jarman mentioned that in his statement where he's like, yeah, it's going to be some more travel, but with the funds that we get from the Big Ten, like, should be all good. Just like, you know, it's very cold calculus. It's going to be tough though for, you know, these athletes who, you know, say you fly to New Jersey for a track meet and then come back home. And then the next weekend or two weekends later, they're going to Penn State or Illinois, and I mean, any, there's gonna be long flights.
Yeah,
it's a long flights, no matter what.
Hey, it's like, it's long for furthest. It's long to get there from Nebraska. It's double from LA.
Yeah. So I mean, I think I saw someone who posted that like the distance between UCLA and Rutgers is roughly the same as Rutgers and Iceland.
I believe that is correct. Yes,
it's pretty wild. Like, the idea that these are college athletes who are going to be doing this. I mean, I guess except for the beach volleyball teams. But it's bizarre. It's really, I like, can't get over the weirdness of it.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to take me a while. It might not take me until, like, the first year through the Big Ten.
At least
kind of used to it.
Speaking from experience, at least. And look, it's and that's LA compared to, you know, the eastern half of the country. Nebraska is sort of a geographical fit in the Big Ten, and it was still an adjustment. It was still an adjustment. It still took 3, 4, 5 years, I think, for Nebraska to really feel at home. And Nebraska today is entering their 11th, you know, year in the Big Ten, and it's finally starting to feel like it. The more new teams have come around, so yeah, it takes some time. I had a thought though, Adam, like as we get more and more to these super conferences, and maybe there's as many as 20 teams in both the SEC and the Big Ten, and wherever this thing ends up, like maybe that part of it and feeling like quote unquote home won't matter as much. Where Nebraska had to sort of go it alone 11 years ago, and they joined the Big Ten by themselves, and they were the new guy in town for a while. USC and UCLA are together, and maybe there's more new kids on the block coming too. I think that probably is going to matter wherever this ends up.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing I've been trying to wrap my head around, is like, you know, how long can Notre Dame be independent?
Yep.
And does it make sense for Notre Dame to join the ACC, which is locked into an old media contract for the next decade and a half? Or to go more geographically central and go to the Big Ten? And so then it's like USC and Notre Dame going to be playing in a conference championship game?
Yeah. Like,
that's insane. That's absolutely insane. It's all so weird. But I could see Notre Dame joining the Big Ten at this point. And if Notre Dame joins, it might make some sense to have Stanford go with Notre Dame because they are such old rivals. But yeah, it's just bizarre. I know I'm repeating myself and it's bad radio, but I just can't get over the weirdness of all of it.
Hey, no, that's basically, I mean, it's been 24 hours now since we got the news. Like, yep, this is really weird. And it's still going to be weird. And it's going to be really weird in 2 years when this all starts and whatever it might look like, then. The Notre Dame thing though, I mean, that sort of smooths things over a little bit. And yeah, it would be weird for USC and Notre Dame to be playing in the same conference, but it would not be weird for USC to have a relationship with Notre Dame. That's one thing that they've always had. I mean, that would,
oh yeah,
USC with us, and I think with the rest of the Big Ten, would love that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, come on. Like, the money Notre Dame brings in alone. Honestly, I don't know if there's another partner that really makes sense for the Big Ten in terms of adding money to the pie other than Notre Dame at this point, and then you'd have to add one more to make it a even 18. But like, does Oregon and Washington really bring a lot? And then even if they do bring a lot, does UCLA and USC want another West Coast team in the Big Ten? Maybe not. Because they just gutted Oregon's ability to recruit Southern California. Because now all those SoCal kids are going to be like, well, shoot, I want to play games in Southern California in my career. So either I stick with the LA schools or go to a Big Ten school, and I know at least once I'll get to play in the Rose Bowl or the Coliseum. Yeah. Bizarre. And then, you know, I grew up in Pasadena. The Rose Bowl. Who even knows what the Rose Bowl is going to look like?
The Rose Bowl will be in September now.
Something like that. Like, something like that. And then, I mean, even Bone's statement yesterday was like, every Saturday now will be the granddaddy of them all. Like, I don't know how the Rose Bowl committee felt about that.
Yeah.
But I think we're... If this... Honestly, that's a big domino, though, for the next playoff negotiations. Because if the Rose Bowl, if the Pac-12 just shatters, then the Rose Bowl no longer has to hold on to its tradition of wanting a Big Ten and a Pac-12 school playing in the Rose Bowl. All of a sudden, the Rose Bowl can be like, okay, fine, we'll be a semifinal every year, or whatever it turns out to be, whatever the format turns out to be. But they can kind of let go of that tradition, which helps the playoff, but it's just absolutely brutal for someone who grew up, like the people who grew up around.
The quote from a Big Ten source from The Athletic yesterday said, "We're literally nuking the Rose Bowl."
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
There's no other way to look at it.
Well, it's not literal, but, you know, it's, yeah, the Rose Bowl is not in good shape.
No, it's going to be very, very different. Like, the days, I mean, because the Pac-12 can't. The Pac-12 is probably done. And I know that's what we said about the Big 12 last year, but the Pac-12 was already falling behind in TV rights. And now without the two LA schools, now with the Big 12 is going to feel pretty frisky about trying to look and try to get maybe the Arizona schools, maybe the Mountain schools. Oregon and Washington have to look for something new.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're going to see Cal and Washington State and Oregon State just get completely left behind. And the Rose Bowl is never going to look the same again in the next 2 years. It's crazy.
Yep. Adam, weird times, but you'll have new friends in Nebraska and all in the eastern part of the country. So that's a good thing. We'll do it again soon. Appreciate you taking the time, and we'll talk to you later.
Thanks for having me.
Adam Grossbart of the Orange County Register.
He still sounded shell-shocked. Like a bomb had gone off.
Everybody's gone.
It was great information. It was great stuff. But really just good. The voice was just, oh my gosh, I can't believe this happened.
Yeah, this is real life, man. I mean, I appreciate him hammering home that point a lot. It's true. This is crazy. It's crazy.
It's wild.
It is. Not only the nuking of the Rose Bowl, it is the, and by the way, we got to use nuking more. That's just fantastic.
Agree.
It's the nuking of college football as we know it. Like I said, it's been headed this way for a long time, but it's, life's different now.
This is a little inside baseball, but on Twitter, a ESPN analyst just reported that subscriber prices in LA for cable, the Big Ten was at roughly 10 cents per cable subscriber. It is now at $1.50 per subscriber in LA. What does that mean, Josh? Well, it means that USC and UCLA joining the Big Ten raises the Big Ten's revenue
per household.
Well, yeah, per household, but you total it all up, easily $100 million a year. That is before the advertising implications that will be in any new TV contract.
Yeah.
Going to be a big number.
I mean, it goes without saying. Yeah, he is right. Adam is absolutely correct about his consternation with the Pac-12. The Pac-12 is dead. And the Big 12 is dead, too. The Big 12's response was to go get UCF, Cincinnati, mm-hmm. Houston, and BYU. That ain't Texas and Oklahoma.
No.
Sorry. They're just, and as he mentioned, and this is the whole thing with Notre Dame that I keep coming back to, there's only a couple programs left out there that mean enough, that are big enough entities, and that's what we're talking about in the new world of college athletics, that are big enough entities, that are big enough chips, that mean anything. And that aren't committed to somewhere that's not the SEC and the Big Ten in the future.
Mm-hmm.
There's just not that many. The biggest one is Notre Dame. Whoever gets Notre Dame, or if Notre Dame doesn't go anywhere, it's a big, you know, I don't know. It feels like they're going to join a conference to me. It feels like the most likely place mm-hmm. would be the Big Ten to me.
Yeah.
But they'd have to swallow a lot of their pride that they've been sitting on for the last 100 years.
Pac-12 and Big 12 could merge and form their own super conference, and you'd still kind of go, it's a deep roster, but I don't know how good it is.
The leader of that world is the head honchos in that world are Oregon, Oklahoma State, Washington. I don't know. Who are the leaders of that world? If those two conferences were to merge, that's basically it. It's not Texas and Oklahoma. It's not USC, UCLA. It's not Ohio State, Michigan. It's not Alabama, Florida. It's not Nebraska, you know? So that's what it's about, collecting the brands. We will come back. Thanks to Adam for joining the show. We may be getting to know each other over the next few years. We'll come back more up next here in 1620 The Zone.